I want to thank the congregation for their thoughts and understanding and prayers for us at this time. You've been very kind, and we appreciate your prayers and expressions of love to us. Yes, my theme this morning is the goodness of God. I have been thinking about this a lot lately, the goodness of God. And I want to begin with the question, do all things really work together for good? Have you ever thought about that? Do all things really work together for good? Consider the following. A little baby is born with no brain, only a brain stem. The doctors tell the parents that she has no chance of surviving. Somehow she stays alive for 16 months. The parents struggle to take care of her. And when she gets sick, the doctors tell the parents, "Don't bring her to the hospital. There's nothing more we can do for her." A seemingly healthy 12-year-old girl develops severe migraine headaches. On the Friday, she's taken to the hospital. On Saturday, she dies. Her father calls her the sunshine of my life. A man and a woman meet while attending Bible college. They fall in love and get married, and feeling called to the mission field, they end up serving the Lord in a remote stretch of the Amazon River in northern Peru. While on a routine flight back to their houseboat, the Peruvian Air Force mistakes them for drug smugglers and shoots their plane out of the sky. One bullet rips through the mother and into the head of their infant daughter, who was sitting in her lap. Both are killed instantly. Now, my friends, this is not fiction. These are true stories. And I'm sure you would have no trouble adding stories of your own. Some time ago, a message came from SIM missionaries in Nigeria. Now, Roma and I served for a time with SIM in Africa and with SIM for many years at home. And this message came through from the missionaries in Nigeria. And I quote, "The news came swiftly and unexpectedly. Dr. Olagunde was dead. Our 34-year-old Nigerian colleague, who was serving at the hospital in Egbe, Nigeria, had been found dead in his bed. He had been last seen late that night before, caring for patients in his usual careful way. Dr. Olagunde was a remarkable man. He'd trained in the general medical practice residency at SIM Evangel Hospital in Jos, Nigeria. He'd stayed on as a consultant, eventually the director of training. When he first began hospital work at Evangel, he carefully considered where he could best be used by the Lord, and agreed to answer a desperate need at Egbe Hospital in the remote southwest region of the country. The SIM hospital that Amy Dusting, a Western Australian, worked as a missionary nurse for over 20 years. His decision to work at Egbe was not to be taken lightly, for Dr. Olagunde had sickle cell anemia. Now, a lot of Nigerians and Africans suffer from sickle cell anemia. In fact, when he first began his medical training in Jos, he had an acute sickle crisis requiring intensive care and treatment. He quietly suffered in daily pain and was a role model for how far patients with the disease in Nigeria could go. In addition, Dr. Olagundi was soon to marry, so the blow of his death came hard to Egbe and to Jos. Here was our brightest and our best Nigerian, a representative of all that SIM's residency program was about. Here was a role model, a husband-to-be, a source of pride to his family, and the hope of a town gone. Now, my friends, why do these things happen? And why do they happen to good people, decent people, Christian people? Now, my theme this morning, as Jimmy has said, is found in Psalm 145 and verses 8 and 9. It's the goodness of God. James W. Gole has said in his book, Finding Hope, Rediscovering Life After Tragedy, there are three foundational truths that have weathered the storms of life that I have found to be unshakable, and all of them surround the goodness of God. He is good. Now, during these past months, and even more recently with my wife's medical emergency a few weeks ago, I've had the opportunity to see the goodness of God at work in new ways. You see, if you ever want to be an overcomer in any area of life, you must have this foundational truth in place. God is good all the time. Not some of the time. God is good all the time. Now, everything hinges on this one truth. Remember, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, he is always going about doing good. Now, as you think about this theme, you quickly realize that the goodness of God is linked to the providence of God. Now, I've always believed in the providence of God, and the older I get, the deeper and more solid is my belief. And as Presbyterians, you should have a deep understanding of the providence of God, not only as a Bible doctrine, but as a living daily experience. So let's look at this for a moment this morning. How do you define this? Well, I believe that this doctrine of God's providence helps us to understand the goodness of God. And even if it doesn't answer every question, at least it provides the only possible foundation for understanding the goodness of God. In English, the word providence has two parts. It's pro and video. And you put them together and it literally means to see before. Now, though the word providence is not found in most modern translations of the Bible, did you know that? It's certainly a biblical concept. And it refers to God's gracious oversight of the universe. God's gracious oversight of the universe. And every one of those words are important. God's providence is one aspect of His grace. Oversight means that He directs the course of affairs. The word universe tells us that God not only knows the big picture, but He's also concerned with the tiniest details of life. Now, here are five statements that I believe unfold the meaning of God's providence in more detail. By the way, there are whole libraries on the providence of God. But basically, this is what it means. He upholds all things. He governs all events. He directs everything to its appointed end. And He does this all the time and in every circumstance. And He always does it for His glory. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that teach these truths. Acts 17:28, in Him we live and move and have our being. Colossians 1:17, in Him all things hold together. Hebrews 1:3, sustaining, this is what He does, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Proverbs 16:9, in His heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Psalm 115:3, our God is in heaven, He does whatever pleases Him. So the doctrine of God's providence is really a combination of the other attributes. His sovereignty, He's in control. Predestination, He's in charge of how everything turns out. Wisdom, He makes no mistakes. Goodness, He has our best interests at heart. So you see, God is in charge of what happens, when it happens, how it happens, why it happens, and even what happens after it happens. Now, this is true of all events, in every place, from the beginning of time. And He does it for our good and His glory. And my friends, we need to remember that God is not the author of sin, but that evil sometimes serves His purposes. He does not violate our free will, yet free will serves His purposes. Now, we're not supposed to understand all this. You know what? We're simply supposed to believe it. Not understand it, but simply to believe it. Because of God's providence, we can keep believing even in the face of many unanswered questions. Because providence forces us to make a choice by faith. Now, I think the doctrine of providence teaches us several important truths. Firstly, God cares about the tiniest details of life. Nothing escapes His notice. He's concerned with the small as well as the big. And in fact, With God there's no big or small. He knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. He numbers the hairs on your head. He didn't have to count too many on mine. He keeps track of the stars in the skies and the rivers that flow in the oceans. He sets the day of your birth and the day of your death, and he ordains everything in between. Secondly, he uses everything and he wastes nothing. There's no accidents with God, only incidents. And this includes events that seem to us senseless tragedies. And thirdly, God's ultimate purpose is to shape his children into the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. You see, our Heavenly Father often uses difficult moments and human tragedies to accomplish that purpose. And the older I get, the more I understand that faith is a choice. It's not a feeling. Many times we don't feel like believing in God. But faith is a personal choice that we make to believe that God is good, that he can be trusted in every situation. Faith, you see, rises above feelings to choose to believe even when our circumstances may argue against it. Now, if you want to see providence illustrated, you only have to go to the story of Joseph. And I'm sure you all know it and read it many times. We'll read it again in Genesis. The story of Joseph. After all the things that happened to him, and you remember many things happened to Joseph over the years, after all the things that happened to him, these are the words of a man who believes in the providence and the goodness of God. Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Now the King James Version translates verse 20 this way. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now you know both sides of that statement are true. You meant it for evil. Now what the brothers had done was indeed evil, and Joseph doesn't sugarcoat the truth. They are 100% responsible for their sin. But God meant it for good. Now this doesn't mean that evil isn't evil. It just means that God is able to take the evil actions of sinful men and use them to accomplish his plans. So Joseph saw the invisible hand of God at work in his life. And I wonder whether you see it. God has no favorites. We belong to God. We should be able to see by faith the invisible hand of God at work in our life. You see, God understood that behind Joseph's conniving brothers stood the Lord God who had orchestrated the entire affair, that he might bring Joseph to just the right place at just the right moment in order to save his whole family. So Joseph is saying, though your motives were bad, God's motives were good. And although it took years and years for God's purposes to be clear, in the end, Joseph saw the hand of God behind everything that had happened to him. Now, all of this happened at just the right moment, in just the right way, so that the right people might be at the right place, and so that in the end, everything would come out just the way that God had ordained it in the beginning. You see, that's providence. God never violated anyone's free will, and yet everything happened as he'd planned. The providence of God in action. And that's what Romans 8:28 really means. When it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I wonder whether you believe that. Let me tell you about some implications of God's providence. Let me tell you quickly. This is clearly the message of Genesis 50:20. If ever a man had the right to get even, it was Joseph. And my friends, we can get bitter because we doubt God's goodness and we don't see his invisible hand at work in our lives. We think that God isn't involved in our situation. And that's why we get angry. And that's why we try to get even and hurt the person who hurt us. My friends, if you really believe that God is at work in your situation, you can just stand back and let God do whatever he wants to do. Because providence frees us from bitterness. Providence also gives us new perspective on our tragedies. That perspective might be stated this way. God is involved with us even in the worst moments of our life. And I believe that in the great issues of life, we will generally not have an answer to the question, why did this happen to me? That is, we won't know why our friend got sick. We won't know why we lost our life savings. We won't know why God didn't intervene when we're sexually abused. Most of the time we're simply left to wonder why about these things. But it is at this point that God's providence is so crucial. It doesn't tell us everything we would like to know about the mysteries of life, but it does assure us that God is there, that he cares for us, that he's involved even in our darkest moments in ways that we cannot see, and probably we wouldn't understand even if we could see it. Because of God's providence, we can keep believing in God in the face of many unanswered questions. And then providence gives us courage to keep going in hard times. Because God is there, we know that he cares for us, and even when life is tumbling down all around us, Psalm 115 and verse 3 says it all. Our God is in heaven and he does whatever pleases him. Now that's what God's providence is. It doesn't answer every question. It doesn't make our problems go away. And it doesn't give us an easy road. But it does tell us that there is a pattern to the seemingly random events of life, and that God is designing something beautiful out of that which now seems only chaos and a clashing of colours. Life is hard, my friends. Make no mistake. Life is hard. But God is good. And both those statements are true. They're true all the time of God's children. Providence helps us to understand why Jesus died. Listen to these amazing words from Acts 2:23. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and knowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Now there you have both sides of the truth. Jesus died by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. That tells us that the cross was no accident. It was no afterthought in God's plan. But who crucified him? Remember that Peter is preaching to the men who participated in that evil deed. And he said to them, you, pointing to them, with the help of wicked men, put him to death. So his death was no accident. God foreordained it from the foundation of the world. And yet the men who crucified him were guilty of the most heinous crime in human history. They were morally guilty. But what happened to Jesus happened because of God's divine plan. So God's providence leads us to Jesus, and Jesus leads us back to the cross. I want to finish with a poem by A.M. Overton. The poem is called He Maketh No Mistake. And I think it's very suitable for us to meditate upon. My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all will He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. You see, in the end, that will be the testimony of every child of God. Until the morning comes, and the sunlight of God's presence fills our faces, we move on through the twilight, still believing that though life is hard, God is good. And when we finally get to heaven, we'll look back over the pathway of life and we will see through all the twists and all the turns and all the seeming detours, He made not one mistake. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn that's known to you all, but it's a wonderful hymn by Martin Luther, number 36, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Would you please stand and sing it together?